My name's Julie Fielder, and I'm a Tasmanian biologist. So at the moment, we're at Philosopher's Falls in the Tarkine, and we're currently standing in a Nothofagus forest. It's quite dense forest, it's quite dark in here, there's a lot of different moss and lichen growing, and it's quite wet underfoot at the moment.
For most people, a bushwalk in the Tarkine wilderness in northwest Tasmania involves covering large distances and seeing a diversity of scenery. Today we're travelling not much further than a couple of hundred metres, stopping along the way, engrossed in what's been called a micro-level Easter egg hunt.
If you see something, just give a hoy and say, hey, what about this? And we'll stop and have a bit of a chat about what fungi are doing in the forest.
Hello, I'm Margot Kelly, and I'm at the Philosopher's Falls Walk in the Tarkine Wilderness area on a fungi walk. We've got two fungi experts and a handful of citizen scientists hoping to discover and map new species of fungi.
This particular trip's primarily for education, so there's not a huge amount of funding to study fungi in an official capacity, so a lot of the data that's being collected on ecology and distribution is largely collected through citizen science. So we try and run these forays to increase the education of the community and increase the interest in the hope that people will identify the target species and send their data in to contribute to the mapping.
My name's Tricia Dick, I'm from the Burney Field Naturalist Club. And I live in Montello in Tasmania. No, I've only just started. There's a lot of us really interested because it's so amazing, the colours, the shapes, you name it. There's purple, blue, red, green, yellow. Well, there's light breaking through. It's very dense forest. There's all shades of green. There's moss, there's grass, there's ferns, dead bracken on the ground. It's really rather beautiful. Oh, they're like a little golden pile of fungi in many different sizes and different shapes. Actually, they look rather good. They don't look very old, and they've got these baby ones here that we've seen back further. But I think these look beautiful. They're just lovely.
But even as we crouch here, so we're kind of near where some fallen twigs and fallen branches are.
You can see the fungi and fungi all the way through there. See, in there, they're all through there. But they're so tiny. See, I haven't noticed those. There they are. They're the tiny, tiny little ones. So now my eyes are actually zooming in on them. And there's a darker one there, slightly larger.
So this here is a marasmius, or a horsehair fungus. And these are saprotrophic. They're breaking down the wood. They're known as a horsehair fungus because they have this lovely black kind of flexible stem that's a similar consistency to horsehair. So yeah, it's a little marasmius.
So we've ventured off the path and we're really starting to discover some quite colourful, uniquely shaped fungi here.
I'm Graham. The wife just has interest in fungi. So we come out and take photographs. Yeah, there's probably 15, 20 different ones, I think, just standing here on that log and on the ground.
So this is Pleurotus, or actually, can someone touch the top of that and tell me how slimy that is? That's what I call slimy.
Oh, no.
The most fascinating thing is the way that they tie the ecosystem together. They're like the internet of the forest. So they enable plants to communicate with each other. A lot of the fungi we have in the forest in Australia are what they call mycorrhizal, which means fungus root. And the fungi actually grow either a bundle around or slightly into the plant root tissue. But these fungi often, an individual will not just be connected to one tree, they'll be connected to the other tree next to it. And so if you have something like insect attack on one particular tree, it'll start producing chemicals to ward off the insect attack, but it'll also send signals through the fungal mass to the adjacent trees who haven't yet been attacked by the insects, and they will start producing chemicals to ward off the insects even though they haven't personally experienced the attack.
They're supposedly hurrying back to the car but keep being waylaid by new types of fungi. This one is an oyster mushroom.
But not edible. So unfortunately the Australian species are quite bitter tasting and cause a gastro sort of reaction for about half the people who have tried it.
Oh, right. Why is it called oyster mushroom?
It looks like the mushroom from the Northern Hemisphere, and the Northern Hemisphere one actually smells and tastes a bit like oysters. Okay, no, really, we should just be walking.
So, heads down, don't get distracted by the fungi.
Today we got less than 500 metres along the track because we kept finding things. And this is not even a really, really good season or time of fruiting at the moment. It's not as much as I would expect. Here in Philosopher's Falls area, in the Tarkine, in a period of about 4 or 5 days, with 4 or 5 people looking, I would expect to make between 300 or 400 collections of different fungi. This time round, probably we're going to be lucky maybe if we get 30 or 40 good collections of fungi. Part of that's got to be to do with the weather. It's been so dry over the summer, and then we've just had some really, really good rain, but it's come quite late and the fungi are only just getting started again. So about 3-4 weeks ago, it looks like there was a bit of fruiting that happened, and then since then everything has just dried out, or this last couple of days gotten so waterlogged that mushy mushrooms. So today we've seen one Quaternaria species, a white one, that with a sort of rooting stem that I haven't seen before, don't recognise, so we'll be coming back. We'll find some more material in good condition that we can collect and actually make an official herbarium collection of, and that way we can check to see whether or not it is actually a new species or not. You missed it.